By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
You are listening to Resolution Radio on ResolutionRDO.com.
They are coming. Coming for us all. Unstoppable force of men forged into iron with their fires and machinery of war. Driven before them are those who betray everything beyond their greed, hate, and anger. Do you betray everything and decide to flee your hide? Or will you take your best and stand for the fight? Fight for your life, for what is dearest to you, for honor and death. Let your name be worthy of you. But remember, the war consumes us all.
Land that gave us birth and blessing, land that called us ever homewards. We will go home across the mountains. We will go home, we will go home, we will go home across the mountains.
Shall I explain to you in one easy lesson how the world works?
Use small words. I'm not as bright as you.
The house that puts family first will always defeat the house that puts the whims and wishes of its sons and daughters first.
Draupnir.
A good man does everything in his power to better his family's position.
Geiri, Freyki.
Regardless of his own selfish desires.
Sleipnir.
Right there on his hammer, it says, word Ray Hole. That is the answer to every bit of this. This is how you do this. You do this through racial holy war. That is the only thing that will ever, ever bring about any kind of hope or solace for our people. Racial holy war. Most important things. that I could possibly imagine that anybody could ever say to anybody. First and foremost, we must secure the existence of our people and the future for white children.
Here.
If somebody wants to ask you why that is important, it is important because just like Dr. Lewis said earlier, we paraphrase because the beauty of the white Aryan woman must not perish from the other. That is the answer to all of it, period. I think one of the most important things we could ever do, and I'm not trying to turn this into any kind of juvenile thing, if you do not know the 14 words, use your motherfucking fingers and learn them tonight. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. If you cannot say that, brothers and sisters, I don't know how much you love your race. Secondly, the most important thing that I think I could possibly share to my people. Hello.
They want you eliminated. Don't give them the pleasure. So there it is, boys and girls. The hard-to-swallow pill that too many of our people have been putting off taking for far too long. They don't want to accept that this is a war to the knife, or that they are the ones who will be stuck like a pig and left to die by their diverse friends. And don't make the mistake of thinking that if you abide by the law and obey the powers that be, that you can win this fight. We have already reached a point where the law is failing us. And if you don't believe me, just ask some of our LS members who are currently sitting in Virginia jails because they had the audacity to defend themselves against physical attacks by mobs of Negroes at Charlottesville. When the law falls into the hands of evil men and is perverted from its true purpose, then free men, are morally bound to resist and overthrow such tyranny, and with violence if necessary. There's a well-known ancient Latin phrase, si vis pacem, para bello. If you want peace, prepare for war. But the time has come to get plumb mad dog meat. And that if you lose your head and give up, then you neither live nor win. And that's just how it is. I say to you, in imitation of that great Confederate general, Nathan Bedford Forrest, war to the knife and the knife to the hilt!
But a kingdom that has once been destroyed can never come again into being, nor can the dead ever be brought back to life.
Don't look down, just keep your head or you'll be finished.
All right, welcome to the Resolution Radio Network at ResolutionRDU.com. You are listening to St. Thomas Show, and I am your host, Sonny Thomas. If you want to call in or listen now, it's area code 607-203-5423. That's area code 607-203-5423. You can follow us on various social media. You can find us on Gab at St. Thomas Show, Real Sonny Thomas, which is me, and at Resolution RDO. For all things Sonny Thomas, you go to SonnyThomas.com, which is a VK page, which also helps to connect with our European and Russian listeners. So you can check that out as well. We are currently not on Fascist Book, at least I'm not, but you can still find Sonny Thomas Show on Fascist Book. Hopefully I might get that remedied. If not, VK will be the new home for the St. Thomas Show presence, because of the fact that at least there I can express my post and not have to worry about a whole bunch of craziness. So it's pretty sad I have to go to a Russian-owned social media outlet to be able to speak my mind here in America. But I don't see anything as much different than most any normal people or anyone who's at least awake, aware, and alert. But apparently I must be persona non grata in some corners, which is fine, because you can usually tell a man by who his enemies are. Oh, yeah. Please, detail. You just strengthen my argument even more. Anyway, so we are going to focus on presidential candidate Augustus Solovictus. He recently ran for Senate, I believe, in 2016 there in Florida. And for the U.S. Senate, of course. And now he's taking a big strike and going towards, he's registered as Republican. So it'd be interesting to see if he would even get an opportunity to be on the debate stage, if they're even going to have one. Of course, it would be very interesting. Of course, Trump would probably generally make mincemeat of him, because of the fact that he would probably, they would probably wouldn't allow him to talk. They would let these other two jackasses that are up there weld and whoever the other fuckwad is. Anyway, a lot of the GOPs are not going to primary, per se, because of the fact that they don't want to waste valuable dollars that are going to be needed in 4 years when we have a complete overturn. Because by then, Trump, if it gets reelected, will be turned out. We don't know if Mike Pence is going to run. I would say at this point he probably would by default, though some people may say he gets the impression he would be another George H.W. Bush. Don't know. But what I like is I like seeing any presidential candidate who's been legitimately registered and have a chance to have their voices heard. So I have been a big champion on the Democratic side. For the first time, I have actually supported a Democratic candidate. Besides Jim Traficant, who tried to get enough votes to get on a ballot, at least as an independent, and he got screwed at the time before he died. But anyway, that being said, Tulsi Gabbard is the only Democrat that actually talks some sense. So, and she goes after some of the other candidates very well. She went after Kamala Harris on her prosecutorial record, as well as Attorney General record of California. She also went after Liz Warren, and that's why they kept her out of the third debate. However, good news is that she has qualified enough, I do believe, to be in the next debate in October. So I want any legitimate presidential candidate to be heard, because that way you can hear the winners from the losers, because eventually the true losers, hopefully, will be the ones that don't have anything to say and have stupid shit, or they screech all the time like Sanders and Warren. So I want Tulsi Gabbard to be heard. I think she has a resonance similar to what Ron Paul did. I don't think as big in 08 and 12. But a good portion of her platform I totally disagree with. Other portions of her platform is a non-interventionist policy, no regime change, wars, this, that, and the other, and questioning why are we fighting for Israel is very interesting, as well as she's also co-authored a bill, or at least co-sponsored a bill, to audit the Fed. So that shows me, at least in some things, she's awake. In other things, she's, you know, still very clueless about, or is adult. But, you know, that being said, when it comes to getting our people in uniform involved in war that don't need to be doing, invading sovereign countries is completely against the Constitution. We haven't had a properly declared war in this country since December the 8th, 1941. The day after the day that shall live in infamy. So, we want to find out who other candidates may be out there who are legitimately registered Republican candidates. And I want Trump to have a good contested primary, because to me it savors a victory even more. I know sometimes when you have an incumbent president, a lot of times they taper down the primaries and stuff because of the fact they don't want to cause trouble for the candidate. Because anything that other candidates do and bring up could be used as cannon fodder against a candidate in a general election. It could be very disastrous. I fully recognize that, and I appreciate that for what it is. But what I'm really concerned about is I want his voice to be heard. And tonight we're going to feature his fireside chat, his opening speech from August 12th, which is specifically on the second anniversary of Charlottesville. And what was also interesting is that when he ran for Senate in Florida, he had some very interesting platform planks to talk about. And so, again, all candidates to be heard because of the fact that, sometimes the one you don't imagine ends up becoming the nominee. So if we truly have a quote-unquote democracy, what we really have is a republic. But what I want to make sure is all legitimate presidential candidates have a chance to be heard. But, I mean, last time you had, 17, 18 candidates for the Republican nomination, and this time you've had 22, and some were eliminated before they even got to the first debate. So, interesting enough. But again, I want all people to be heard. Just kind of as a reminder, I went on a government field trip in high school my senior year, and there was two other guys from my high school, as well as the one teacher that, as an administrator, hated his fucking guts, but when I had him as a teacher, I loved him. And unfortunately, when I took him away to be full-time administrator, I went from a solid A in his government class to a C, because they put some half-breed black chick in there, and because she was half-black, all the black students acted up, and they were too busy trying to hoop it up with her, and yeah, you're one of my sister, blah. And then I didn't learn shit. So, I mean, I went from a solid A to a C by the second semester because of the fact that nothing was ever really get discussed. It was just too much bullshit. So that's one of the problems I have when you allow minorities to be in positions of opportunity or power, because either they don't stay focused or they have an agenda, and they definitely are anti-white majority of the time. They either would do it for themselves entirely or they do it for their people and their cause and at the expense of white folks. I saw it all throughout public high school. When I was in radio, TV, broadcasting, we set to film some of the superintendent and some of the board and stuff. And of course, majority of them were black, had some degree in some bullshit education or whatever, just so they could be called doctor. And of course, you'd see all the vehicles. You know, they made sure they drove a BMW, Mercedes, or Lexus wasn't even coming online yet at the time, but, whatever looked like they were hot shit, So you go in the parking lot where they would park at, oh, look, such and such is here. Oh, wow, they're hot shit because they drive a Mercedes. Whoop-de-fucking-do. What I like about the fact is, even if I did have money, I wouldn't drive no high-end car like that. If I did have money, I'd probably have one vehicle that I really want, and it would be my Sunday driver, probably stay in the garage a good portion of the time, and I would drive a common vehicle. So, I mean, simple fact that I wouldn't want people to know I had money, because people's attitude totally change when you realize you got some loot, and it's just human nature. So, I mean, to me, I'd rather just someone be, join me for me, and not fucking just because I got a fat wallet, maybe because I got something fat somewhere else, but that's about it, just call it a seat. So that's how I look at it. So anyway, enough of that shit. So at the bottom of the hour, we're going to play the speech from Augustus Invictus. His opening salvo, shall we say, is fireside chat. And I think it's pretty powerful. There's a lot of stuff in this particular speech And it's a little bit lively, but once you really start listening to it, it won't matter because you really get into what he's saying. Arguably, I would say, just on the surface, Justus Evictus is our modern-day George Lincoln Rockwell in many respects. If you ever go back and listen to George Lincoln Rockwell's speeches, especially one in some university somewhere, I can't remember off the top of my head, maybe it was in California, I'm not sure. But it's very hard to debate him. I mean, seriously, it's like this guy definitely had his finger on the pulse of something. And he was very intelligent, very quick thinker, and very very precise in his detail. And that's why he's such a threat. But I would arguably say, you know, if you want to classify him as a civil rights activist, he's probably my second favorite civil rights activist after Malcolm X, because him and Malcolm X actually weren't that different, except they had different backgrounds, of course. Malcolm X came from a petty criminal background and re-educated himself while he was in Clink. And if you ever watch any of his videos on YouTube, Malcolm X is definitely a force to be reckoned with. And I do believe at some point there are pictures of him and Rockwell together. I don't know if they ever debated or not. Or if they did, they had a few words. I haven't had any, found any clips lately on YouTube to verify, but I know I have seen a picture somewhere of Rockwell with his cornpipe standing out in the crowd with Malcolm X. So, and obviously it's before Malcolm X was murdered, so probably early mid-60s. That being said, it's interesting to see someone who comes up and actually rises to the top. I mean, seriously, when you listen to some of this, some of the parts that go on, say, could be piecemeal of audio versions of Mein Kampf. I mean, you know, it's hard to say. But I don't want to compare him to anybody else because, in fact, I want Augustus to be his own individual. I want him to have his own talking points. And I think he's a very prolific speaker, and also he has a lot of very interesting tenets. So if you actually go to his website at InvictusForPresident.com, you'll actually find his campaign platform, and he has the 9 principles, which I think are very powerful in their own right, and shows he has a very organized thing of events. First one, restore the natural order. We will revive the old ways, reinstating natural law as the highest law, recognizing concepts of marriage, gender, race, and the environment in the ancient sense. 2, in defend the West. We will fight to preserve our proud heritage and educate our children in European high culture, recognizing as total enemies all who undermine the imperium. 3, in white genocide. We will halt the flood of immigrants, cease all so-called diversity programs, and terminate the trend of whites becoming unwelcome minorities in their own countries. 4, make Americans great again. We will raise up the poor and working class by eschewing obsolete notions of capitalism and socialism, returning to a holistic nationalism. 5, better dead than red. We will crush the communist mob, curing the Marxist plague by physically removing the politicians, media executives, and professors instrumental in the epidemic. Stop the machines. We will bring Silicon Valley to heel. Implement farming and environmental initiatives to benefit the public welfare and pursue policies that place humanity over technology. So like some of that sounds like reminds you of the old CCC camps that Roosevelt did during the Depression. That's just my 2 cents on it. Dismantle the deep state. We will root out the corruption of the federal government, dissolving unnecessary bureaucratic institutions and trying traitors for treason. I think the FBI and the CIA need to be abolished. Because if you ever read the history on how both of those organizations were created and how they were allowed to unchained and unrestricted, especially the FBI under the watchful eye of J. Edgar Hoover, then you definitely understand why that organization should be abolished. Because of the fact it's quasi-federal, it's not totally. Eat the bankers. We will end the Federal Reserve and the power of the international banking cartels, prevent usury, and ensuring that monetary policy is determined by the public interest. So that's definitely a Ron Paul plank right there. And conquer. We will wage war only in America's interest, never the interest of Israel, international finance, or the corrupt international order. So that's the basics of his platform, and I think he's got a really, really good thing started here. Not to mention, he has a merch link And the first one goes to Viral Style, as well as Teespring, but the Teespring stuff isn't as good. The better stuff is on Viral Style. And actually, I was concerned because it's usually one of those things you have to sell so many shirts, I think, before they really get printed. I just got an email earlier today saying that the shirt that I bought, which I know it's been at least a week since I purchased it, is being shipped today. So I look forward to wearing my Justice Invictus 2020 shirt at my next GOP. People ask me, what the fuck? Well, that's a fine gift. At least during the primary, I am going to vote for my candidate. And, of course, in the general election, I'll vote for Trump. Who knows? Maybe I'll just say that Trump looks like he's doing pretty damn good. Maybe I'll write in a Gustus Invictus. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I actually look forward to hopefully interviewing Gustus Invictus. There was actually a very good interview from Nordic Frontier a couple weeks ago here on this network. You might want to go check it out. And they asked him some pretty hard questions, and he handles it very well. So I have to say I was very impressed. So, you know, that's one of the things I like. And again, we've also on sunnycomics.com, I've been posting a lot of interviews and public outings from Tulsi Gabbard because I want people to hear what she has to say. So she's the only Democrat that I favor right now. I would love to see a Tulsi Gabbard versus Gustus Invictus race. That would be pretty fucking awesome. That would be interesting. That would be very interesting. You talk about fantasy football bullshit. How about fantasy politics? That would be one hell of a lineup. Republican nominee Gustus Invictus versus Democratic nominee Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard. And I should say Major Tulsi Gabbard, because she actually still major in the reserves. So she just recently come back from a 2-week training stint in Indonesia somewhere. So, I mean, you know, I got to respect that because the fact is she is partially active duty in the reserves. So, again, she has a couple of things to say about Trump really getting us involved in the Iran situation and Saudi Arabia. Us being there, bitch. And I think she needs to speak up more on Israel. It's very interesting to see, that's for sure. Okay. So we'll go a little bit more into the background of who Gustus Invictus is. And we are going to oh, sweet. Just got some images in here. I didn't very nice. It's got some good propaganda pieces on its propaganda page on the website. Damn. That is pretty sweet. I'll have to include some of these into the show definition. Very good. Some of these are actual t-shirts that you can also order off this website. And I think that's pretty damn sweet. Definitely doesn't suck. It's good stuff. Anyway, so I like this a lot. And looking forward to seeing more of this as it goes on. Okay, we'll be back right after these brief messages. We're going to look into the background of who Gustus Invictus is, and then we're going to play the speech. Don't change that dial.
Boar's Head is bringing a slice of Japan to the deli. Introducing Boar's Head Ichiban Teriyaki Style Chicken. Tender, slow-roasted chicken breast, coated in our signature teriyaki glaze, where ginger, garlic, and a hint of brown sugar meet for a flavor that's both sweet and savory. New Boar's Head Ichiban Teriyaki Style Chicken. The bold flavor of Japan. Now at the deli. Only from Boar's Head. Compromise elsewhere.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin, just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
You are listening to Resolution Radio on ResolutionRDO.com.
You're listening to the St. Thomas Show on the Resolution Radio Network.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999. Or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Greetings, fellow white people. Nazi propaganda bot here. Have you visited NordicResistanceMovement.org yet? If not, why? Are you an English cigarette? At NordicResistanceMovement.org, you will find the latest and the greatest regarding the movement and the Nordic people's struggle. Activist reports with action from the streets. Ideological articles to stimulate your mind. Videos, interviews, radio and more. From the week gone by you will find an article written by Simon Lindbergh himself. He wrote about our vision for a united North contra Kalergist ILEU. We also published Simon Holmquist's article called The Psychology of Genocide, which details how whites have been tricked into hating themselves and need to wake up to the glory of their ancestry. So you think this sounds nice? You want some of this? Then head on over to NordicResistanceMovement.org and get your daily dose of National Socialist stimulus.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Back to the Resolution Radio Network, resolutionradio.com. You are listening to St. Thomas Show, and I am back up. Sunday motherfucking tea. Jackson! You can figure that out. You are listening to the Resolution Radio Network. If you want to call in and listen out, 607-203-5423. That's our good 607-203-5423. Just real quick before I jump into a little bit more of Augustus Invictus, I just saw a story here on Five March. Ann Coulter is very suspicious we can't get a straight answer. New border wall construction warns of 2020 election consequences. She's right. The border wall remains a crucial concern for Republican voters, especially as it pertains to the 2020 presidential election, according to conservative commentator Ann Coulter. Coulter, the ultra resistance is futile. How the Trump-hating left lost its collective mind, told Huntsville, Alabama Radio's WBNN during an appearance in Washington, D.C. at the Federation for American Immigration Reform's Hold Their Feet to the Fire annual radio event, that it is very suspicious how specifics about new U.S.-Mexico border wall construction not really made about the public. Before I go on to that, there's probably some advantages to that. You don't want them to tell you exactly where, just because of the fact that that's where people purposely go and avoid that particular section of the border. So let them find out when they get there, there's a massive wall for them being built. So we shall see. It's very suspicious that we can't get a straight answer from them on any new wall being built where there is nothing before, Coulter said. Now, admittedly, I've seen about 50 miles on a 3,000-mile border, so who cares? 50 miles is nothing when you have a 3,000-mile border. And they were crappy little fences. Any little car or person can get past it. So there was a fence, and should we create a real fence there? Yes, definitely an improvement. But it does make a difference is if they will create a real wall where there's nothing before. It shows they have the building permits, that there is no EPA problem with disturbing a snail dirter. You're actually doing something new here, and you've gotten the go-ahead. And I believe the answer to that is no, because every time we get a straight answer, the answer is no. She recounted an effort relayed to her by someone having a difficult time getting answers about progress of wall construction. Last I heard, one of our friends was pressing the White House. He showed it to me. He sent to me secretly the email thread, and it's just hilarious. He continued. Keeps asking, yes, 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 but just so I can go back to Coulter and say, new law is being built. Can you tell me if there is new law being built, and where is it being built? And they were not answering that question. As for the 2020 presidential election and what Trump's potentially unfulfilled pledges pertaining to immigration issues might mean for its outcome, Coulter said a lot of next year's election had to do with the Democratic Party opposition. Democrats are doing everything they can to lose this election, not only by the candidates they're running, not only by their positions, she said. It seems to them that if Trump wants to protect America's working class, then we hate America's working class. If Trump doesn't want illegal aliens, then we love illegal aliens. They're talking the most absurd positions. We could get the Democratic Party to officially come out for pederasty, if we told them, you know, Trump is against pederasty. He really wants to go after the pederasts. That would be a plank in the Democratic platform. So we have that, and that has none of this nonsense of what they call the Ukrainian guy for. So I think there's a very valid point there. And it's going to show you that the Democrats can't get anything done. I mean, Trump was saying, like, yeah, you guys took my gun control reform, this, that, and yellow, blah, 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 but yeah, I didn't come to the fucking table because you're too busy trying to get me kicked out. So apparently, I think you want to know the real secret. And I just saw a story here basically trying to make it look like the prosecutor said that actually Hunter Biden had nothing illegal going on. Well, it's bullshit, because I've been hearing this other guy, as well as Peter Schweizer, say over and over and over again, there's definitely something there, even though Biden says there is nothing there. Well, it may be partially true in some respect, but it doesn't look questionable. Yes. I mean, the bottom line is, you had a sitting vice president use his power to ensure that his son would not get investigated by withholding monies that were already being acquiesced for them. So, I mean, that is the very definition of corruption, man. So, I mean, to me, Joe Biden is not only not qualified to be president, but he should have formal charges filed. And that's one of the problems that I have, is that when some of these guys leave office and they do high crimes and misdemeanors, there's never any charges filed after they left office. It's only while they're in office. And you can still get impeached after you've left office. Don't think that you can't. There's actually a situation about that. I don't have it in front of me, but I know it's there. Anyway, that's how I look about that situation. So, and keep going after him and make him start talking. And I want to see actual pictures. I don't need to know exact coordinates. I want to see pictures of wall being built. I want to see video of actual wall being built. And you should have the Army down there, the National Guard to protect the construction workers, to keep from, because I guarantee you they'll have cartel guys out there in tree tops probably shooting construction workers. You watch and see. We need to do like the Romans would do. Okay, real quick. I'm going to go through the basic summary of Augustus Invictus, and then going to play his speech. Augustus Sol Invictus, who was born Austin Gillespie in July 31, 1983, is an American attorney, white nationalist, far-right politician, and activist. Invictus was a headline speaker at the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, on August 12, 2017, the far-right and white supremacist rally that ended with three deaths. It was not a white supremacist rally, dumb fucks. He has represented Marcus Fela, former head of the, we're not going to call it what that bullshit is, the white nationalist group American Front, in court, which he does as a professional and activist practice. Invictus was a candidate for the Libertarian nomination in the United States Senate election in Florida in 2016. His candidacy prompted a resignation under protest of party chairman Adrian Wiley. He lost in the primary by a margin of around 50 points to Paul Stanton. Invictus is the publisher of The Revolutionary Conservative, the publication with the stated aim of restoring the American Republic and defending Western civilization. He was widely criticized within the Libertarian Party for his use of fascist imagery and history of white nationalist associations. He has been described by media reports as being associated with the alt-right movement. On April 7, 2017, the Libertarian Party of Florida, following successful mediation, issued a full retraction of the 2015 press release, stating that it exceeded the mandate of the executive committee. On July 13, 2017, Invictus changed his party affiliation to Republican. Invictus announced his candidacy as Republican for the 2018 United States Senate election in Florida. And, of course, he is now running for president, I'm assuming, as a Republican. So, there's a lot of interesting information there in that interview that he does with Andreas Johansson on Nordic Frontier from a couple weeks ago here on this network, and I encourage you very much to go check it out. So, that's kind of a brief summary of some of his stuff. I don't want to go through a bunch of stuff now, but I do want to play his speech because of the fact I think the man's own words tells it all. So, here is Augustus Invictus' speech, his opening monologue. On August 12, 2019, exactly 2 years since Charlottesville, and I think he nails it. Nails it. He's definitely worth a look at because, I mean, obviously, hopefully treads some water now. If he doesn't make it president, obviously, he should run for Senate again and then run for president. So he definitely get his name out there. So here is his speech.
My fellow Americans. The sudden criminal attacks perpetrated by the system since August 12, 2017 provide the climax of a century of international immorality. Powerful and resourceful gangsters have banded together to make war on the whole European race. Their challenge has now been flung at the United States of America. There can now be no peace between us. Let none prate to me about covenants. There can be no covenants between men and lions. Wolves and lambs can never be of one mind, but hate each other out and out and through. We can accept no result save victory, final and complete. Many American brethren and kinsmen have been imprisoned or killed by enemy action. American lives have been ruined. American families have been destroyed. The dissident right, the white nationalist movement, and the patriots of the United States have accepted that challenge. Together with other free peoples, we are now fighting to maintain our right to live among our world neighbors in freedom, in common decency, without fear of assault. The full record of our past relations with the system will take historians 100 years to compile. It begins with the usurpation of power in this country by the bankers, who immediately waged the so-called war to end all wars to make the world safe for democracy. It ends with the surrender of President Trump to this international cabal of gangsters last week, an hour after the mass media had loosed its propaganda and panic machines against our flag, our civilization, and our folk. I can say with utmost confidence that no Americans today or 1,000 years hence need feel anything but pride in our patience and in our efforts through all the years toward achieving a peace in this country which would be fair and honorable to every race, ethnicity, and individual. And no honest person, today or 1,000 years hence, will be able to suppress a sense of indignation and horror at the treachery committed by the traitors within our borders, under the very shadow of the flag of so-called humanitarianism borne by their special envoys in our midst. The course that the system has followed for the past 10 years in the United States has paralleled the course of the Marxist coups and Cultural Revolution in Europe and in China. Today it has become far more than a parallel. Anglo-American law has given way to halakha and Soviet kangaroo courts. Neighbors spy on neighbors. Government officials attempt to destroy the lives of their own constituents if they be dissidents. It is actual collaboration amongst internationalists so well calculated that all the continents of the world and all the cities, courts, and schoolhouses are now considered by the system strategists as one gigantic battlefield. In 2009, 10 years ago, the system elected Barack Obama, ostensibly as a way to lessen racial tensions, but really as a way to stoke them beyond repair. From 2009 to 2015, we watched as the United States slid down the slippery slope from alleged tolerance to moral relativism and deliberate anarchy, from recognizing equal opportunity to denying employment to whites, from decrying racism to mandating so-called diversity at the expense of the native population. From 2015 to 2016, we saw the native population of this country band together to elect overwhelmingly a man we believed would reverse the trend of cultural degeneracy rotting the heart out of America, who would right the wrongs of the radical leftists in power, who would drain the swamp and end corruption at the highest levels of government. From 2017 to 2019, we watched the further slide, from allowing gay marriage to demanding that drag queens read to our children. From insisting that transsexuals are not mentally ill, to insisting that dissidents accused of mental illness have no constitutional right to bear arms. From attempting to drive white advocates from public life, to seeking the utter destruction of whites in America. Now, in 2019, the system has manufactured such outrage that the president has abandoned all pretense of making America great again, or of stopping the invasion at our southern border, or of ending the corruption in the federal government. After 2 years of callous indifference, he has finally turned against us. It is all of one pattern. We are now in this war. We are all in it, all the way. Every single man, woman, and child is a partner in the most tremendous undertaking of our American history. We must share together the bad news and the good news, the defeats and the victories, the changing fortunes of war. So far, the news has been all bad. We have suffered serious setbacks in the past 2 years. Our men in the right wing, which include the brave people of the white nationalist movement, are taking punishment, but are defending themselves vigorously. The reports from the witch hunts and show trials across the country are still confused, but we must be prepared for the announcement that all of these fights may be lost. The casualty lists of these first few years will undoubtedly be large. I deeply feel the anxiety of all the families of the men in our movement and the relatives of those who have been targeted for persecution. I can only give them my solemn promise that we will fight until the last day. The dissident right will put its trust in the stamina of the American people and will give the facts to the public just as soon as two conditions have been fulfilled. First, that the information has been definitely and officially confirmed, and second, that the release of the information at the time it is received will not prove valuable to the enemy directly or indirectly. Most earnestly, I urge my countrymen to reject all rumors. These ugly little hints of complete disaster fly thick and fast in wartime. They have to be examined and appraised. Many rumors and reports which we now hear originate, of course, with enemy sources. For instance, today the journalists are claiming that as a result of their efforts against James Fields and the Rise Above movement in Charlottesville, they have gained absolute supremacy in the courts of law. This is an old trick of propaganda which has been used innumerable times by the globalists. The purposes of such fantastic claims are, of course, to spread fear and confusion among us, and to goad us into revealing certain information which our enemies are desperately anxious to obtain. Our movement will not be caught in this obvious trap, and neither will the people of the United States. It must be remembered by each and every one of us that our free and rapid communication these days is overwhelmingly burdened with disinformation, confusion, and outright falsehood. It is not possible to receive full and speedy and accurate reports in today's media, with every outlet having its own particular bias. This is particularly true where reports concerning our movement are concerned. Even from our own media outlets, it is impossible for activists to report their activities by broadcast at all, for the very simple reason that this information would become available to the enemy and would disclose their plan of defense or attack. Of necessity, there will be delays in officially confirming or denying reports of operations, but we will not hide facts from our comrades if we know the facts and if the enemy will not be aided by their disclosure. To all newspapers and media stations, to Hollywood and Silicon Valley, all those who reach the eyes and ears of the American people, I say this: you have a most grave responsibility to the nation, and you have failed in that responsibility. Your complicity with enemy propagandists, such as the Anti-Defamation League and Southern Poverty Law Center, as well as their lapdogs in Silicon Valley and the halls of government, mark you as traitors to this country and its people. In the absence of all the facts, you have no right in the ethics of patriotism to deal out unconfirmed reports in such a way as to make people believe that they are gospel truth. In any event, you have gone far beyond this, poisoning the culture and the minds of entire generations of Americans with your lies. Every citizen, in every walk of life, shares this same responsibility, to act with the best interests of the nation in mind. The lives of our men and women, the whole future of this nation, depend upon the manner in which each and every one of us fulfills his obligation to our country. Now a word about the recent past and the future. 2 years have elapsed since the chaos at Charlottesville, when the whole world first realized the mechanized might which the traitors within all levels of government have been building up for so many years. We have used those 2 years to great advantage. Knowing that another attack might reach us in all too short a time, we immediately began to build our infrastructure and our capacity to meet the demands of the coming fight. We have built attorney networks and legal defense funds, charitable organizations and media cooperatives. Malicious prosecutions are now being fought. Businesses are being built to eliminate the threat of doxing. A steady stream of projects engineered to forge the dissident right into a real political force. That is what these 2 years have given us. But it is all only a beginning of what still has to be done. We must be set to face a long war against crafty and powerful bandits. The government sabotage at Charlottesville can be repeated at any one of many points, points in the heartland and along both our coastlines and against all the rest of America's cities. It will not only be a long war, it will be a hard war. That is the basis on which we now lay all our plans. In furtherance of those plans, I declare my candidacy for President of the United States. The length and hardness of the war is the yardstick by which we measure what we shall need and demand. Resources, volunteers, doubled and quadrupled work, ever increasing. The work must be not only for our campaign and activists and lawyers, it must reinforce the other campaigns and activists and lawyers fighting the globalists and the warlords of the international financiers throughout the Americas and throughout the world. Over the hard road of the past 2 years, we have at times met obstacles and difficulties, divisions and disputes within our movement, indifference and callousness. That is now all past, and, I am sure, forgotten. The fact is that the country now has an organization nationwide built around men and women who have dedicated their very lives to this struggle. I think the country knows that the people in this movement are pulling together with a teamwork that has never before been excelled. It is the unity and resilience of our movement in the face of total persecution that instills fear in our enemies, that causes them to panic and to break every law and bound of common decency to destroy us. That unity and resilience must endure in these dark days. On the road ahead there lies hard work, grueling work, day and night, every hour and every minute. Ahead there lies sacrifice for all of us. But we do not consider it a sacrifice to do all one can, to give one's best to our nation, when the nation is fighting for its existence and its future life. It is not a sacrifice for any man, old or young, to be in the dissident right or the white nationalist movement of the United States. Rather, it is a privilege. It is not a sacrifice for the industrialist or the wage earner, the farmer or the shopkeeper, the train man or the doctor to donate, to contribute, to forego extra profits, to work longer or harder at the task for which he is best fitted. Rather, it is a privilege. It is not a sacrifice to do without many things to which we are accustomed if the existence of our people and a future for our children calls for doing without it. Many within the movement have no shortage of food. They are able to provide for their families. They have housing and employment. Their ends are met. But many within the movement no longer have these luxuries. Their activism has cost them dearly, and they have lost homes, jobs, and incomes as victims of the present mob hysteria. I ask the well-off among you to donate not only to this campaign, but to the welfare of your fellows in this movement, keeping in mind that soon you too may have to give up many things entirely. And I am sure that the people in every part of the movement are prepared in their individual living to win this war. I am sure that they will cheerfully help to pay a large part of its financial cost while it goes on. I am sure they will cheerfully give up those material things that they are asked to give up. And I am sure that they will retain all those great spiritual things without which we cannot win through. I repeat that we can accept no result save victory, final and complete. Not only must the shame of the system's treachery be wiped out, but the sources of international brutality, wherever they exist, must be absolutely and finally broken. We will make very certain that this form of treachery shall never endanger us again. In order to achieve that certainty, we must begin the great task that is before us by abandoning once and for all the illusion that we can ever again isolate ourselves from the rest of our kinsmen. In the past several decades, and most violently in the past few years, we have learned a terrible lesson. It is our obligation to our dead and imprisoned, it is our sacred obligation to their children and to our children, that we must never forget what we have learned. And what we have learned is this: there is no such thing as security for any nation or any individual in a world ruled by the principles of gangsterism. There is no such thing as impregnable defense against powerful aggressors who sneak up in the dark and strike without warning. We have learned that our ocean-girt hemisphere is not immune from severe attack, that we cannot measure our safety in terms of miles on any map anymore, for the traitors are inside the walls, living among us, degrading our nation and poisoning the youth tirelessly, even as we work and eat and sleep. We may acknowledge that our enemies have performed a brilliant feat of deception, each step in the past 100 years perfectly timed and executed with great skill. The destruction of our country was a thoroughly dishonorable deed, but we must face the fact that modern subversion, as conducted in the Israeli manner, is a dirty business. We don't like it, we didn't want to get in it, but we are now in this war and we're going to fight it with everything we've got. I do not think any American has any doubt of our ability to administer proper punishment to the perpetrators of these crimes. The entire country knows that for 2 years the globalists have been telling the White House that if President Trump did not bend the knee and desecrate the Bill of Rights and attack the white population itself, the president would be destroyed. The recent media hoax surrounding the mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton has finally caused the president to submit to their power. With the First and Second Amendments finally abandoned, the American Republic itself now stands on the brink of civil war, thanks to the president's submission to these gangsters. We know also that the globalists and the federal government are now acting in accordance with a joint plan. That plan considers all European nations and people of European descent who are not helping the globalist powers as common enemies of each and every one of the globalist powers. That is their simple and obvious grand strategy. And that is why the American people must realize that it can be matched only with similar grand strategy. We must realize, for example, that the Crown's successes against nationalists in Britain are helpful to globalist operations in the European continent. That any government success against the German nationalists is inevitably an assistance to the European Union in its operations against the continent itself. That a European attack on its own people opens the way to a Silicon Valley or federal government attack against the citizens of the United States. On the other side of the picture, we must learn also to know that resistance against the globalists in, let us say, Serbia or Norway helps us. That a successful Russian offensive against the globalists helps us. And that nationalist successes on the streets or in the courts in any part of the world strengthen our hands. Remember always that banks and media outlets, corrupt politicians and bureaucrats, regardless of any formal declaration of war, consider themselves at war with the people of the United States at this moment, just as much as they consider themselves at war with ISIS or Al-Qaeda. And the globalists put all the others who oppose their ends in world affairs into the same category of enemies. The people of all nationalist movements can be honored by that fact. The true goal we seek is far above and beyond the ugly field of battle. When we fight tyranny, as now we must, we are determined that these efforts shall be directed toward ultimate good, as well as against immediate evil. We Americans are not destroyers, we are builders. But history has shown that we are capable of supreme destruction when times require. And in order to raise an edifice, one must first clear the ground of debris and other obstructions, methodically, with metal, and with many hands. We are now in the midst of a war for reconquest and for vengeance, and for a world in which this nation and all that this nation represents will be safe for our children. We expect to eliminate the danger from the system within our borders, but it would serve us ill if we accomplished that and found the rest of the world was dominated by the United Nations and the World Trade Organization. So we are going to win the war, and we are going to win the peace that follows. Hollywood will burn. Silicon Valley will be destroyed. The corrupt politicians will hang for their treasonous acts, the invaders banished to their lands of origin. The power of the banks will be ended, the lying mouths of the press shut. Our patience has come to an end. And in the difficult hours of the dark days that are yet to come, we will know that the vast majority of the members of the European race and all the Western countries are on our side. Many of them are fighting alongside us. All of them are praying for us. But in representing our cause, we represent theirs as well. Our hope and their hope for liberty under God.
Okay, so that is a speech by Augustus Epictetus. So, we are going to cut the program short tonight, but I wanted to get a taste of what some of his point of view is, and I definitely think he's got some very interesting points. So, Solange Ma, we feature next week, and we will feature, I guess, as a future presenter from the Wisconsin chapter, and he was at the gun rally a couple weeks ago at Columbus, so I'm going to talk with him on what he thinks about what's going on tonight. Alrighty then. So we are going to bow out, and we will catch you next week. Hoping Tonight was also Pushed to the Limit from Battle Beast, a cover song featured originally on the Scarface soundtrack. And I think that was a pretty dang good version. Very good stuff. All right, we are going to close again with a really great group that I saw last weekend, as well as weekend before, from Ireland. This is Billowood, and the song is called Dreamland. Slaunch them out.
Around in my mind of me and you. memories swirling and swirling around in this room. Your love and longing is strong in my heart. This aching distance is tearing me apart. Right now
I wanna see you,
be near you.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.